Well, hey now, guess who survived the weekend? Yeah, me and Fish B. As absolutely no one in the world calls me, it's Tijuana Bob. Another weekend in Tijuana. Believe it or not, as of yesterday, I've only been here for 2 weeks. I've had years in my life go by faster than the last 2 weeks here in Tijuana. And it's been a learning experience. It's been an adventure. In many ways, it's been what I expected, only slightly more overwhelming, I suppose. And so Friday night, I told you, I was going out to this bar, and it's in Zona Norte. And for those of you that don't know, that's considered the red light district of Tijuana. There must be 11 brothels and a bunch of other bars, and just kind of anything goes in Zona Norte. And so I finally found this place after wandering around looking for it. And the reason I couldn't find it is because there's no sign for this bar. There's no storefront. It's just in between of a bunch of other places, and it's just a door. It's just a dark door, and you go down these stairs, and this place has a cement floor, tables around, a bar at one side, and it's roughly twice the size of your garage. That's how big this place is, and it is crowded. It is like you can't walk around with your hands at your side. It's so crowded. Like I'm walking around with my hands by my ears. This particular bar is so crowded. And was I the only gringo in there? You betcha. And for some reason, I just felt everyone's eyes burning upon me. I felt like an obvious narc who walked into a 1970s Hell's Angels club meeting. Like, that's for some reason, and it might have just been in my mind, but that was the vibe that I was getting. And I finally make my way to the bar. No one wants to smoke a joint with me. That became obvious, real clear. You'd think these would be my people. You'd think the weed, the marijuana, would be the most laid-back, nicest, open, welcoming group. And for some reason, and again, maybe it was just me. I was just so obviously out of place. Maybe I showed up at a time when it was too crowded. But even on my way out, I tell the doorman, I'm like, dude, no one down there likes me. It's official, because he spoke good English. I'm like, it's official. No one down there likes me. So there's no place to sit. No one wants to talk to me. Everywhere I look, I'm just kind of getting not glares, but not like, hey, buddy, glad you're here type vibes. And then just when it couldn't get any more crowded, this like 71-year-old Mexican cowboy makes his way down the stairs with a giant rope in his hand. What's he there for? Well, obviously he's there to do lasso tricks. And this goes on, and he needs like 15 feet of space. He was a small man, but this was a giant lasso, and he needed lots and lots of room to go through his entire rodeo routine before he goes around the bar for tips. And yes, I tipped him very well in the name of good karma. And then after I had had my shot of Jack Daniels and a 40 ounce of Pacifico, I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna get out of here. No one's smoking me. I'm just gonna go. And that's when I went back up the stairs and told the doorman, I'm like, man, I love you. I love Tijuana, but it is crystal clear to me that I am not the most popular person downstairs at that bar. So that was my experience at the Star Wars bar. And I would encourage anyone coming to Tijuana. In fact, I wouldn't let anyone I liked, any friends, I wouldn't recommend to anyone, even if you do speak Spanish. When you come to TJ, you should incorporate the buddy system. You should absolutely incorporate the buddy system, which is tricky for me. Speaking of Star Wars bars, everywhere I go, I roll Han Solo, and the 6'4", blonde hair, blue-eyed cockadoid could not stand out more. Everywhere I go is is pretty obvious. So anyway, that was essentially my weekend. A Saturday and Sunday, I just kind of stayed in and binge-watched things and read a book and did some writing and things like that. Today, I did something. You might find this interesting. I think it's worth sharing before we get to Fish B. Sorry, Fish B, we'll get to you. But remember, you get that big musical number, the big musical number at the end of the show. Plus, actually, I'm going to take off my sweater real quick. Everyone, just do what you can to get yourself comfortable. Because I did get a little bit of grief for Friday's show being a little short. I didn't intend it that way. What did it come out to? Like 11 minutes, something like that? That was not the intention going in to do the shortest show that maybe we've ever done. It just kind of ended up that way. So tonight, get comfortable. If nothing else, we are taking our sweet ass time. Today, I'm sure all of you listening are aware of, and whether you want to use the word crisis or not, and I will, but there's the migrant crisis here in Tijuana, as there's all these immigrants of that have come up from Central America and can't make their way into the United States. So they're just kind of stuck here waiting to ask for asylum on the Tijuana border. And America is doing something they call metering, which is limiting the number of people that can apply for asylum on a daily basis. I believe the number is as low as like 50, but I'm not 100% sure. Don't take that to the bank. But it's a low number. But today I got a ride, and Uber, obviously. And I went down to the border, and I just wanted to walk around and see the living conditions, because there's a stadium, and there's a few different locations where they have the asylum seekers. And I found this one place by the border, and it was basically like a 40 meter by 40 meter, just kind of giant cement structure. It was the walls on it were like 10 meters high. Then there was like 5 foot, like a fence for fresh air. And then there was like a giant cement over it. It looked like a it used to be like a Midas muffler shop or something in the States, right? Is basically how it looked. And there's like 150 families in there, mostly women and children, and they're in tents. And the thing that struck me most of all was just how sad it was, especially for the kids. There were so many, like ages 2 to 5. Life is so short and life is so precious. And who on earth would want to live that way? And what are they fleeing that they have? And off, that's a rhetorical question, but you can imagine what they're fleeing to volunteer to live in that type of squalor. Will they slowly wait for this process to play out on the United States side? Because, and this whole process is so backwards right now, because even if you're one of the people that get to apply for asylum that day, while you await your asylum hearing, you have to wait on the Mexico side now. If you do everything by the book, as the current U.S. Customs and Immigration, all that stuff, Department of Homeland Security, you do everything by the book, you have to wait on the Mexican side of the border. Meanwhile, if you cross illegally and then ask for asylum, then you get to wait on the United States of the border. The whole thing is completely counterintuitive. It makes no sense on no level. But thinking about these kids, I don't know what to do. Like, I wanted to go to the store and buy like 12 teddy bears and just hand them out to the kids so at least they would have something that would bring a smile to their face. I wanted to go to the store and buy a bag of apples and I didn't know what to do. And perhaps the best thing I can on a broader scale is simply by doing this podcast and telling you about it, and hopefully, as humanity. Can't I ask a question of humanity? It seems to me we can do better. We can do better. So anyway, that was my Friday night and weekend into today. All right, Fishby. All right, yes, it is finally your turn. You know what I feel like in TJ? I've mentioned before, and anyone who's traveled around here, you know this too. There's dogs in the neighborhood. There's just a lot of dogs. But I saw today I saw one cat. It might be the first cat I've seen since I've been here, and I'm like, man, that cat's crazy. You know, with all these dogs running around, that cat is fucking nuts, right? And then it occurred to me, holy shit, I'm the cat. I'm like that. Basically, I am the cat. That is how things are. So, anyway, question one from our fishbowl reads as follows: what was more damning, leaving Neverland or surviving R. Kelly? Well, Leaving Neverland, this two-part documentary on HBO, the first part aired last night, Sunday evening. I watched it, but I watch HBO on HBO Now, and even though part two doesn't premiere till tonight, on HBO Now, after midnight, they went ahead and posted part two, so I was able to stay up and watch it. Michael Jackson, in case you're curious, that motherfucker was a goddamn pedophile, and this shit is disturbing. It is disturbing. But so was the R. Kelly. His whole thing, that was awful. And now R. Kelly, not dead, unlike Michael Jackson, R. Kelly may very possibly do the rest of his life in the clink because he also is a pedophile. And world's dumbest kind of pedophile, the kind of pedophile that would make tapes so he could keep around. Of course, that could also be used as future evidence. Nice work, R. Kelly. But which I mean, they're both horrible. But they're both worth watching. Surviving R. Kelly, I think, is more damning only in terms of the court of public opinion. Because I know a lot of you listening have HBO, but what percentage of American households actually have HBO? It's a number under 10%. Meanwhile, the Leaving R. Kelly, that was on basic cable. That was on Lifetime, wasn't it? Therefore, the R. Kelly, more damning. But the Michael Jackson shit, that was... It was, both of them are difficult to watch at times, and they should be. These men, I mean, it's hard to look at Michael Jackson and go, that dude's a monster, but that dude was a monster. And then we can get to this question on another day, but then how do you separate the art from the monster, and does the monstrous nature of these pedophiles take away from the art? I would say yes, but there is a difference in the way history will... Anyway, that's a deeper conversation we can get into some other time. Yo, it's me, Fish B. What up, Fish B? Can we sing our song now? No, Fish B. I said at the beginning, at the very end of the show, which may never come, but at the very end, that's when you and I are going to get to our musical number. Not yet, Fish B. Not yet. Sorry about that, buddy. Patience. Patience. As Axl Rose sang on the Lies record when they were doing an acoustic, patience is important. Will the House Democrats vote to impeach President Trump? Will the House Democrats vote to impeach President Trump? Today... the House Judiciary Committee, headed by one Jerry Nadler, elections have consequences. 5 months later, now the Democrats are in control. This committee requested documents from 81 different agencies, individuals, and entities related to President Donald J. Trump. 81 agencies, individuals, and entities related to President Donald J. Trump. Are they going to impeach him? I don't think they are. I think they're going to intentionally kind of slow roll all these proceedings just so the cycle after cycle after cycle of bad news just bashes and washes over the president right up until the election day. I don't think they're going to impeach him. I think that could cause a backlash. I think the Democrats know that, and they're just going to let the bad news floweth. That's my prediction. What was the most disturbing moment of CPAC? What was the most disturbing moment of CPAC? The Conservative Political Action Conference went down over the last 4 or 5 days in outside of D.C. in Maryland. Firstly, I want to go to this thing next year. Although I wouldn't consider myself a conservative, and I'm certainly not a sycophant of President Donald Juanita Trump, I just got to see these people for myself. Who are these people? I mean, Donald Trump's 2 hour and 20 minute to his crowd, those were his people. I mean, him coming out and just the look on his face as he physically accosted the flag, which to me, like Donald Trump doing that, like rubbing his fake tan makeup on the American flag, that's far more offensive than all these people that burned their Nikes and flipped a lid over that Colin Kaepernick kneeling over the national anthem, which is a legitimate form of political protest. At a football game, all right? This is the president of the United States and an American flag. Those are completely different contexts. But the most disturbing part of CPAC was at some point the death of John McCain this year, of war hero John McCain, of by all accounts, a decent and wonderful and American hero, John McCain, this crowd stood and cheered for the death of John McCain this year. That's the most disturbing moment of CPAC. Not anything the president said over his 2 hours and 20 minutes of whatever the hell that was. I'll tell you what it was. It was just his greatest hits. I watched the entire thing on, unfortunately, on YouTube. I didn't watch it live, but I went back and I watched it. And it was just everything he's ever said before or ever hinted on. He riffed even further. It was just everything. It was a Bruce Springsteen show, but it was like as if the boss's last show he was ever doing. Like if the boss knew he was healthy, but he was going to die the next day, that's the kind of performance Juanita Trump put on, and it was disturbing. Next question, Fish B, what's up? Why do 88% of Republicans still support the president? I've heard numbers, I think 88% is from the latest NBC News poll, which also has his approval ticking up to 46%, curiously. But I've seen numbers as high as 92%. One, because there is no conservative, there is no Republican Party anymore. It is the party of Donald J. Trump. And the percentage of Americans who consider themselves, who self-classify themselves as Republicans, that number's also shrinking. That number's down to like 28, 27% now of the entire populace. That combined with the fact that there is this feedback loop now. And because these Republicans, the only place they get their news is Fox News. The only radio they listen to is conservative talk radio. Political talk radio, 99.9% of the stations across the country have turned into nothing more but Donald Trump fanboy, and that's all it is. And it is obnoxious. But when that's all the information you get is just this constant stream of propaganda, that's where you're at. That's what happens. Giant numbers for the president. I don't think it's that impressive. What's the best part of living in Tijuana? There's lots of great parts of living in Tijuana. I mean, 99% of everyone is friendly as hell. That's true. Even though I do use the buddy system, but 99% of everyone is cool, and that's a good number. The food is obviously phenomenal. That shouldn't be a surprise to you. But what's nice getting around here is how damn cheap Uber is. Like an Uber ride for me, I'm on this beautiful hill called Buena Vista, and a ride into the city is like $2, $3, like with the tip you put on, like with the Uber, like the maximum amount you can tip is 25 pesos, which is like $2.10. That's really nice getting anywhere. And then especially there are so many great restaurants, and all of them are hooked up to Uber Eats, and Uber Eats comes via motorbike, so it comes real fast because they weave through traffic. There is no street law for the motorbike. They can do really for the taxi cabs too, but especially the motorbike, which makes Uber Eats get here really fast. And there's hundreds of options. And I've been getting all kinds of food, and honestly, because things are just cheaper here. So because Uber Eats in America is expensive as hell. Like it's like 25, 30 bucks just to get like McDowell's or something like in the States. But down here, with all your food, with the delivery fee, and a substantial tip, you're looking at like $15. I mean, that's nice, right? I don't know if that's the nicest thing about living here, but it's certainly a plus. You can eat real, real well. And believe me, my friend Death Metal Pat, the living legend, can attest, this growing boy has got to eat. I got to eat. So, been eating well. I had, for dinner tonight, I had a delicious sushi. I had spicy salmon rolls, some rock shrimp. It was nice. $15. What's the weirdest thing you did today? That's the weirdest thing I did today. I was outside waiting for an Uber on my way to go down to go to the border and kind of see what was going on with the immigration, the migration down there. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to these two little chihuahuas that live next door. And at one point I apologize to the chihuahuas for not speaking Spanish. And that's kind of, you know, I don't know why. I don't, maybe I'm going crazy, which is an odd thing to say because everyone knows I'm already crazy. But I apologize to a pair of chihuahuas for not speaking the native tongue. I think that's a weird thing to do, right? Next question. Would you like to say anything to the United Methodist Church? This is my account, the United Methodist Church. This is the Arby's Church in Spokane. I'm an Arby's Methodist, right? Or at least I'm 33% agnostic. I'm 33% atheist, 33% Buddhist, and 1% United Methodist, just in case. But over the weekend, while CPAC was going on, there was another conference, and this was the conference of the United Methodists, and the church has kind of been going back and forth for the last few years, but they, on the subject of LGBT clergy, and again, the United Methodists, this is a progressive church, okay? This is not a church that is trapped in 1,000 years deep. No. This is a much more progressive outfit, the United Methodists. But on the issue of LGBT clergy and gay weddings, they said no to both. No gay weddings in the church and no LGBT clergy, which I think is bullshit. And because this is my account, I'm pissed. I think I already have, but in case I haven't, I am officially renouncing my membership in the Arby's Methodist Church in Spokangeles, Washington, where my beautiful 93-year-old grandmother still goes and writes that church a check every single Sunday before she gets, you know, her roast beef after the services. Before the roast beef, she writes the check. And communion is very odd. It's done with RB sliders. It's a get the cordon bleu if you can for communion. It's real delicious. I even growing up in Spokangeles, I was my parents' firstborn kid, which means they didn't want to ruin me, even though when I was born it was already too late by no fault of their own. But they made me sing in the children's choir for a year at the Arby's Methodist Church. And now they come back and do this. This is disgraceful what's going on with these Christian communities and LGBT. It's disgusting. It reminds me of, because, you know, I've been alive forever. Reminds me in the 1800s, the abolitionists versus those churches that still supported slavery. That's the kind of bullshit this is. So. I don't say this lightly, United Methodists. I'm pissed. I'm not happy. But luckily, it's not just me. This is actually dividing the church, and maybe two churches will come out of it. And hopefully the Arby's church is on the right side of history. Otherwise, I'm going to make sure the Arby's church is, and I'm putting you on notice now, and I don't know how I'm going to do this because I don't have access to the document, but I can almost guarantee that Arby's church is somewhere in my 93-year-old grandma's will. I can almost guarantee it. And she's been a little under the weather lately. I'm going to get that out. Just stand up for my LGBT brothers and sisters. That is unacceptable. I told you we were going long tonight. I told you to get comfortable. We got a couple more questions. If you were in Seattle, what would you say to Melania Trump? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Fishby. Now, Melania Trump, she's on like some three-state tour for her Be Best campaign. And I know it's unbecoming. I know it's not proper to poke fun at the First Lady of the United States of America. And I used to think she was half First Lady, half hostage. But now she's kind of exposed herself as all Trump. But honest to God, Melania, well first I would say, welcome to Seattle. The marijuana capital of the universe, hence the motherfucking Space Needle. That I would say that first. I'd probably drop the cursing because she is the First Lady. And then I would say, as I've said before, Be Best. It's what everyone attacks her for. It's an anti-bullying campaign when she's married to the greatest cyber bully in the history of the world. He's such a cyber bully. You could even argue that he's a cyber terrorist. I don't know what that means. I'm not even sure what connotation to provide to that statement. But he's the worst of the worst, and she's married to him. Start at home, as the pedophile Michael Jackson would say. Start with a man, and then that doesn't make sense here. But Be Best. That's Melania speaks five languages, and Be Best isn't any of them. You know, how about we start with that? If you're going to do a program for kids, you know, at least nail one of the five languages. That's what I would say. Last question, as always, comes from Isaiah, the tiny player, our 8-year-old executive producer who writes the following. Zip it, Fishby. We will get to you, I promise. If Gonzaga doesn't make the Final Four this year, will the season be a disappointment? Gonzaga basketball of Spokangeles, Washington, once again the number one college hoops team in the country. Usually any other year, I would say no, because the tournament is a cruel mistress. One and done, you never know which way it's going to go. There's a ton of pressure. These are college kids. But this Gonzaga team is so good. This is the best team they've ever had. If Gonzaga does not make the Final Four this year, then yes, this year is in fact a disappointment. Thank you, Fish B. We will get back to you in a moment. Right now, it's time for Paleta Bola de Fuego before we get to the big musical number. It's kind of a sad Paleta Bola de Fuego. Luke Perry, the actor at 90210, Riverdale, he had that stroke last week. He passed away. You probably heard that. I just wanted to include that somewhere. You may not have heard, though, Keith Flint, frontman of a British electronic group big in the 90s, The Prodigy, you know, Firestarter, The Prodigy, 49 years old, died of suicide over the weekend. He hung himself, and that's horrible. Eric Holder is out of the presidency of the United States of America. Hillary Clinton announced today she's out. Bernie obviously said he's in over the weekend. Also in, John Hickenlooper. Yay, former governor of Colorado. Trump gets North Dakota State. They didn't win. They won the college football championship, but the one for small schools. And he had them at the White House. And just like Clemson, he got them all fast food too, because, you know, he's classy. Matt Whitaker, the former acting attorney general. Today, he left the Justice Department, and we can all rejoice that. Who knows what he's going to do next? Maybe go to jail. Wendy Williams finally made her debut back, but finally made her way back to TV. So congratulations, Wendy. Good for you. And Weezer, a Weezer theme park has debuted in the Fortnite creative mode. And that is all for Paleta Bola de Fuego. And now, as promised tonight, not only did I tell you we were going to go extra long to make up for the short Friday night show, let me get a sip of water as Fish B and I prepare to end this evening's show with a musical number. Brace yourselves. I think this is, because we're doing it a cappella, so, all right. Got to make sure. La 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 la. Gotta make sure warmed up. You ready, Fish B? All right. Fish B and I wrote this one over the weekend. We were having kind of a tough time. All right? Here we go. Fish B'll come out manana. Bet your bottom peso that manana there'll be sun. Just thinking about manana. Clears away the nightmares and the sorrow till there's none. And when I'm stuck in TJ and sad and lonely, we just stick out our chin and win and say, oh, Fish B'll come out manana. Bet your bottom peso that manana. Da da da. Manana, manana. We love you, manana. Fish B's always a day away. Yeah, that was hot, right? Is that gonna chart? That's always my question. Whenever we do something musical, that's always my question. Is that fucker gonna chart? I doubt it. Anyway, thank you for hanging out. I told you to get cozy. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. Until then, I love you. Fish B loves you. Take care of yourself. Be good to each other. Bye-bye.